The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Pathway is better. Do you believe that? That is awesome, man. That was good. Way to go, Gerald. Hey, there's two more ways that you can help us get the word out about Trunk or Treat. So these are the door hangers we'll be passing out tonight. But we have stacks of these out on the front table. If you want to take 15 or 20 home and just put them on your immediate neighbor in your neighborhood, my girls are going to take them to school tomorrow and give them out to their classmates. So these are available if you have friends you want to invite in that way. And then here's a super easy way is this morning about 6:30 on our Harvest Facebook page, we posted an invite to Trunk or Treat. You can go on there and just hit the share button and then tag any of your local friends that you'd like to invite to that. That's an easy way. Usually through that method, we'll have a reach of several thousand. Just want to give you a couple opportunities to invite people to Trunk or Treat. Now, I want you to do me a favor, and we are going to welcome our Rio Rancho and Cuesta campuses who are tuning in with us today. We help me welcome them right now. I know you can't see them, but they are there. And one of my favorite things, this is a new thing that we're doing, is every Sunday morning I have a conference call with Pastor Jace and Pastor Johnny, and we pray together and just get our hearts together for the day. And we did that this morning, and excited about what God's doing. And today, Harvest Cuesta is doing their first Trunk or Treat, and it's going to be amazing. I wish I had a helicopter and a helicopter pilot that could just get me there today. I want to be there. My heart is there, and just love what God is doing. So today, our message is titled, On the Road Again, On the Road Again. And we're in the book of Mark. Today, we're in chapter 10. Chapter 10's taken us a while, if you've been coming the last few weeks. We're going to finish chapter 10 today. Next week, we'll be in chapter 11, and you're in for a treat. Next week, you're going to hear the first passage in chapter 11 from our very own Pastor Tyler Harris, our youth pastor, and you're not going to want to miss that. It's going to be fantastic. Today we're in Mark chapter 10, on the road again. Roads are used in our culture and our language as a metaphor. There's a lot of sayings about roads, right? You've got things like all roads lead to Rome, have you heard that one? Or the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You tell someone, hey, take the high road, right? Or we could say, it's the middle of the road, or there's a fork in the road, or where the title comes from, Willie Nelson's On the Road Again, right? Do you ever sing that on road trips? I do. We get in the car after stopping for gas, and we say, on the road again, and by the time, I'm tired of being on the road again by the time I start singing that. Or how about Rocky Road? Does anyone like ice cream? Is it too early to think about ice cream? Anthony teased me this morning with the chocolate chip cookies that I'm leading you into temptation, right? And now I'm talking about ice cream at 9:30 in the morning. So on the road, it's a metaphor for life, and it implies movement and action, right? Like if you've been on a road trip, the road trips offer new sights, new foods, new adventures, right? There's the picture that was up a moment ago, I think this was last year, we were on our way back from Texas, and we stopped at Cadillac Ranch in Amarillo. One of those weird, somebody just buried a row of Cadillacs in the ground, and people stop, and they spray paint them, and so we did. We got spray paint, and we tagged the Harvest H on a Cadillac at Cadillac Ranch, right? I stopped the other day. It's not there anymore. I have to do it again, right? But on the road, it's implying this movement, this action, and today the passage, we're going to see someone getting on the road again, and we're going to hear, hopefully, from the Holy Spirit about him getting us on the road again. So Mark chapter 10, 40, verse 46, here's our passage today. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. And I'll add again, along the road again. Today I want us to consider the same question that Jesus asked Bart. Is it okay if I call him Bart today? Bartimaeus is kind of long, so I'm going to call him Bart. Are you? Is that okay with you this morning? So Jesus asked Bart a question, and I want us to think about this question today. It was simply this. He said, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Here's what I know, is that all of us came today with some kind of a need, something that we want Jesus to do for us. It could be a healing of a sickness or a disease. It could be a financial miracle. It could be some sort of provision or a relational discord, and that you're hoping that he would heal for you. Maybe you're here today and you need some joy back in your life, or maybe you need healing, or maybe you need your football team to win today. I don't know. You came today and you want something from the Lord today, and we're going to do something. I just felt like the Lord put this in my heart this week. So on your way in, you probably received a little slip of paper. If you didn't, our team has some more, and they can bring you one. You can just wave your hand in the air like you don't care, and they'll bring you one. But I was teasing someone that today it's like Survivor, and we're going to cast someone off the island. But that's not true. What I want you to do is, and you don't even have to show anyone. You can hide it from whoever's sitting next to you. And you can, what I want you to do is I want you to identify what you want from the Lord today. I want you to identify what you want. One or two or seven items. I don't know. What are you believing God to do in your life today? And I honestly struggled with this idea, but as I continued to pray, I just really felt the Lord pressing me. No. I asked Bart, "What do you want me to do?" And I'm asking you today at Harvest, what do you want me to do? And we saw in Bart's case that he answered. Jesus responded to the request that Bart had. I want to see. And he responded to that. And I have an unusually high faith today that here and in Cuesta and in Rio Rancho that God is going to answer the deep parts of our heart. Do you believe that this morning? That he's going to respond. He's going to move in our lives today. So what do you want God to do for you? You know, the what's of life are pretty easily identifiable. They're easy for us to find, right? Truthfully, the what's of our life take up most of our thoughts, our energy, our time. But one of my mentors, my pastor, he asked this question recently, and it made me really, really think. It was, but why all of the what's? Why all of the what's? And I've spent some time just considering this idea of the what's and the why. The what's and the why. And for all of us, there's a lot of what's about our life. Like, here's some of my what's. I have a marriage. I'm married to Lisa. I'm a father. I have a job. I have a dog. I have a bunch of hobbies that I like to do. There's a bunch of what's in my life. But the deeper question is, but why? Why all the what's? Why the what's in my life? Because I think that life is really more about the why than the what's. The why identifies the purpose, right? The why identifies the bigger thing behind the what's. And I'm worried because I think that for a lot of us, it's easy for the what's to just kind of take over, for the what's to become the thing, you know, that we do, and we just move through life, and we forget about the why. I don't think we even give it much thought. I mean, for example, today it's like, well, why did you decide to get up and come to church and other people didn't, right? Why did you decide to sing or clap or raise your hands or not, and other people did. You know, what's the why behind your how you worshiped? Or, you know, why did you give in the offering today? Or maybe you didn't, right? What? So you already have some what's that have transpired today, but why? Why all of the what's? Why all of the what's? You know, we ask kids all the time, right? What do you want to do in life? What do you want to grow up to be, right? Do you remember being asked that question? And I had something funny happen a couple weeks ago. A family came in, a little boy named Noah came in, and Noah and I just struck up a conversation. And eventually I asked Noah, what do you want to do when you grow up? And he knew his answer. He said, I want to be an engineer. And that surprised me. I'm like, oh, wow, this is some ambition out of this little boy, you know? And so I said, do you know what an engineer does? He said, I have no idea. I'm like, so why do you want, you know, it just struck me. Why do you want to be an engineer if you don't know what an engineer does? And he knew the why. Here was his why. He looked at me very confidently and he said, because engineers make $87,500 a year. And I'm like, man, maybe I should be an engineer, you know, right? I mean, the kid, he knew the what, and he also knew the why. And so I encouraged him to pursue that. And I also encouraged him when he gets that job to come back and tithe. But that was, I don't know, he wasn't really, really with me on that one. So here's the caution, right? Here's the caution is that our why has to line up with our what's. Our why has to line up with our what's. I mean, one of the things we said last week in our passage in Mark was that God has a purpose for every single one of our lives. God has a plan. He didn't just create a whole bunch of us and go, well, you know, let's see what happens. let's see if they do anything, right? He has a purpose for our lives. That's the why. And our why has to line up with our what's. And here's why the why is so important. Are you getting confused with the whys and the what's yet? All right, I'm trying hard. Here's why the why is so important. Is if we just live life in the what's, if we just do things and we just move through life and we're all about the what's, then what happens is we end up doing our what's out of duty, obligation, and ritual and tradition, and we're just doing things and we no longer know why we do them. And ultimately our heart detaches from our why, right? The why is in our heart. The heart detaches from the what's, and we end up, here's the end result, we end up passionless towards our Savior. We end up passionless towards the King. When our why is disconnected from the what's, we end up living far below the intimacy and the power that the King imagines for our lives. You see, when he creates the why, when he creates the purpose, there are definitely some what's connected, some things to do to pursue that, and we've got to keep them connected. And so maybe some of you are here today, and you would just say, my life's definitely more about the what's. I have a bunch of what's, I have a bunch of duties and things that I do, but truthfully, my life it's kind of just drifted lately. It feels like I'm just doing things, and I really don't know why. I believe that today the Holy Spirit is going to talk to us. So do me a favor. Let's pause at this point in the message and let's pray. And let's invite the Lord. You can only pray this prayer for you. Invite the Lord to speak to you today about your why. And don't forget that little piece of paper that you've probably got in your pocket now or your Bible. I believe God's going to do something supernatural today. Father, we invite you now into our hearts. God, I ask that you would speak to me today. Do exactly what you want to do in my heart. Lord, today we've identified what we want you to do in our lives, and I'm believing, I prayed earlier today, that you would just do something supernatural across every campus and every city and every one of our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If we look at the story in Mark, it begins in the town of Jericho. And Jericho is an important town. You've probably read about this town. We read about it in the book of Joshua, where the walls come tumbling down, right? They march around the city. But Jericho, it's a significant place because this is where the children of Israel really discover their spiritual significance. The Lord sends them there, and it seems impossible, and they're up against, you know, this big wall, but God comes through, and they begin to really step into their spiritual significance. And it also, it's significant because there's an era that is passing. The Moses era has come to an end, and now the leadership torch is being passed to Joshua. There's kind of a famous verse in the first chapter of Joshua. My kids say it all the time. You know, say, the Lord speaks to Joshua. He's like, be courageous. Don't be afraid, right? And he gives him, Jesus gives Joshua and the children of Israel their marching orders, right? He's like, look, guys, you're gonna go and you're gonna cross the Jordan and you're gonna take the Ark of the Covenant with you. And I want you to go to Jericho and you're gonna bring the walls down. And ultimately, he's like, you're gonna go to places that Moses, he really only dreamed of, right? There's this passing that's happening. But when I reread this week, you're like, how did you get here? Well, I'm reading in Mark and he's in Jericho and I'm reminded of Jericho. So I went back and I'm reading about the stories in Jericho and Joshua. And here's what I noticed is that God didn't just give Joshua the what's, right? The what's are tear down the wall and cross the Jordan and do this and do that. But he also told him the why. And the why is significant. What he said to Joshua was, I have an inheritance for you. And I want to bless your family, Joshua. And I want a relationship with you. And here's the one that really caught my heart was this, is that he said to Joshua, he said, there's some people that are around you that I want to bless through you. That was the part that really caught my attention, was there's some people, Joshua, that are in the vicinity of your leadership that I want to bless through you. So the what is, you're going to tear down some walls and you're going to take some land and you're going to advance the kingdom. But the why is so important. The why is that the love and the hope of God is going to come through Joshua and through the children of Israel to reach other people. And I don't know if it's hitting you the way it hit me this week, but I found myself going, oh my goodness, if we could realize our spiritual significance, if we could realize that there's way more to the what's of Harvest, there's way more to the what's of Jason and Lisa, there's way more there's significance that God wants to work through us to give the hope of God and the love of God to some other people. Are you with me this morning? So if we go back to Bart in Mark chapter 10, Bart he's living in the promised land, but here's the sad part. He's living in the promised land, but he's not able to take part in the promise, right? He's there, but he's blind and he's begging and he's destitute. So he's in the promised land without the benefits of the promised land, right? It struck my heart. It's sad. And he's sitting there and he's begging and Jesus is coming. He's coming down the road and Bart hears that Jesus is coming and Bart does several things here. I'll just line them out for you this morning. He does several things. He refuses to sit when the opportunity comes near. That's the first thing, right? Bart is sitting there. I have to sneeze. Oh my goodness. It passed. All right, there we go. Whew, thank you. Bart's sitting there and he hears Jesus is coming and he can't sit still any longer, right? So Bart, he gets up and he shouts, he calls out, he wants to participate in the king coming, right? And the inner, you know, and here's what I wrote down is I said this, I said, church, we can't sit when Jesus comes near, right? We can't just sit when the king comes near. So he gets up, he begins to participate. But then here's what I saw is that he persists in the face of resistance. He persists. You know, we learn something, right? He calls out and the crowd around him, they began to shush him. Did you notice that when we read it? They're trying to like quiet him down. Yeah, Bart, don't cause a scene. You know, my goodness, come on, right? And I just, it caught my attention because passionate people will often get shushed. Have you ever noticed that? Right? Like, I don't know. I thought it was just me. I'm always getting shushed. But Bart got shushed. It gave me some hope, right? That passionate people are, when you're pursuing something with passion, right? Here's why, is that passionate people, they upset those that don't have passion because their passion exposes their lack of passion, right? And I have a dream in my heart for Harvest that we would be a passionate church, passionate towards Jesus and his kingdom. And here's what I know is that as we pursue that, we're going to get shushed. We're going to have some people along the way like, hey, why are you so excited, right? Why are you getting all worked up about this? And I just wanted to encourage you that it's okay to have some passion. And what I saw was Bart, he persists in the face of resistance. He also responds to Jesus coming with urgency. He responds with urgency. He doesn't procrastinate. There's an interesting piece here, and you'd almost have to study it to really see the significance, but they call to Bart, and they're like, cheer up, on your feet. Jesus is calling, and here's what it says. It says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet, and he came to Jesus. And you'd have to study that throwing his cloak aside but to see the significance, but his cloak, his coat was, it was literally his license to beg. It was the thing that gave him the right to sit on the corner and to beg for his provision. This was how, it's like he went to the city, you know, and got a license to panhandle, right? Otherwise, you're not going to be allowed. And so this is significant because when he had the opportunity to come to Jesus, he threw that aside, right? In other words, he left all his other provision to run towards the king, right? To the one that he felt like could change everything, right? He left that behind. He abandoned his current security for the hope of what could be, right? This is significant. And he does this, and then he also, he knows what he wants when he's asked, right? He knows when Jesus says, what do you want, right? He knows what he asked when he's asked. And this is why, truthfully, this is why I had you write on the piece of paper. I wanted you to identify what you're wanting from the Lord today. And then finally, it says this, he's healed, he's touched, and then he follows Jesus on the road again. So there's a lot of what's here that Bartimaeus, what he did, but the question I found myself asking is, so why did he do all these things? Why did he do all these things? And then I asked this question, well, why do people come to church? That I don't know, when I read the Bible, it's like one question leads to another, right? One question leads to another. And I just found myself, and I thought, why do people come to church? Because I feel like there's a correlation between what Bart wanted from Jesus and what people want when they come to church. Because see, Bart's why was this. He said to Jesus, Jesus said, what do you want for me? And he said this, very simply, he said, I want to see, right? I want to see. And here's what I think is that when people come to church, it's the same thing. It's that they're coming and they're lost and confused and hopeless and overwhelmed and there's problems, right? At home, there's something happening. And ultimately, they're coming saying, I want to see. I want to see that there's a better way, right? God gives us a better way. He's coming saying, they're like, I want to see that there's hope. I want to see that there's a chance. And so here's the next question I ask myself is, when people come to our church, are they going to find what they're looking for? This has been a question that's plaguing me this week. When people come to Harvest, are they going to find the hope that they're looking for? Are they going to find the King, Jesus, real Jesus, who can heal and restore and recover and forget? Are we introducing people to the life-changing, real Jesus? This is the question that has been plaguing me, because here's the truth. We're really good at the what's. There's a lot of what's that we're known for, right? We have a what coming up on Tuesday night. That what is called trunk or treat, right? We're gonna set up a what in our parking lot, and we're gonna pass out candy, and we're gonna sell food, and we're gonna love on people, and we're gonna hopefully have opportunities to share the why behind the what, and we're gonna be light in a dark place, and that's one of our what's. But truthfully, we have a lot of what's, and we have food pantry and youth group and kids ministry and extravaganza and partnerships with CYFD. And we have a lot of what. So I found myself asking this week, but why? Why? Why missions? Why do we raise money for missions? Why do we take trips to Haiti? And why are we going to Panama next year to build a church? And why do we plant campuses, right? Like, why do we have a campus tuning in right now in Rio Rancho and in Cuesta? Why did we feel like we needed to expand and to help people? Why are we doing all of this? Why are we involved in the schools and buying red ribbons and lunches and doing school assemblies? And why next year on June 23rd are we organizing this massive community event with Convoy of Hope to give away $1 million of goods and services? Why am I spending so much time doing all of this stuff? And I realized that I think our why is the same as the why of Joshua. You remember it? He said to Joshua, he said, I have an inheritance for you. I want a relationship with you. I want to bless your family. But here's the thing. It's not just I want to bless you. It's there's some people, Joshua, that are around you that I want to bless through you. And I just heard the Spirit of God say to me this week as I questioned all of our what's. I heard him say, Pastor Jason, there are some people around Harvest. He calls me pastor, by the way. He's like, Jason, there's some people around Taylor Ranch that I want to bless through you. There's some people around you that they're not going to know about me without the what's in your life because of the why behind the what's, right? I don't know if you're catching it this morning, but there's some people around us that are going to be blessed because of God's through us, his blessing through us. So why do we settle for so much less? Why do we settle for less than God's best? Last week in Mark 10, our passage, you remember James and John very, very brashly, very boldly, they came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, we want you to do whatever we ask. You remember that? How bold, right? We want you to do whatever we ask. It's almost as bold as writing on a piece of paper what you want God to do for you, right? That's why I had you do it. They came to Jesus, we want you to do. And Jesus, he asked the disciples, James and John, the same question that he asked Bart. And it was this, well, what do you want me to do for you, right? What do you want me to do for you? And what I realized, if I put these two passages together, last week's and this week, what I realized is that Jesus doesn't seem to mind the disciples' brashness. He doesn't seem to mind their boldness of their request, right? They're like, we want you to do whatever we ask. He's like, oh, well, what do you want me to do, right? What is it that you want from me? He doesn't mind that. Now, I have a friend that travels a whole lot, and I get to travel with him from time to time, and it's really fun because he has this thing that he does. He'll, at the rental car place or the hotel or even the airline, he'll walk up to the counter, and he has this little line. He'll say to the person at the counter, when is the last time that you gave someone an upgrade just because? And often they'll say, well, you know, it's been a while, right? Or they'll say, I've never done that, right? And he'll follow that up with, well, today would be a great day to surprise someone, a customer, with an upgrade just because, don't you think? And he kind of leans in. And the first time I saw him do this, I'm like, that is ridiculous. That is so brash and bold, but he was in line in front of me, and he got the upgrade, right? So I got up, and it didn't work for me, because I said, when's the last time you gave someone an upgrade just because? And she's like, I literally just did it, right? I'm like, well, let's make it two, right? But I'm telling you, I've seen it time and time again that this guy is always getting upgrades because he's not afraid to ask, right? And I talked to him about it. I'm like, you get turned down a lot, don't you? He's like, yeah, I mean, a good amount. And I just realized that you can't be afraid to ask, right? And I just wonder, like, so here I'm realizing this significance that God has for for us. And I'm going, well, why are we living below the standard that he dreams for us when all we have to do is ask? I mean, in fact, I think he's asking us this today. What do you want me to do for you? See, Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more, watch this, immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. That, you see, when we ask something of the Lord, here's the thing. See, if you, I don't know what's on your paper, but if you were to ask me for the thing that's on your paper, it more than likely is far, far above my capacity. But when we ask that of the King, right, who has all the power and all the authority, I mean, immeasurably more than all we could even ask or imagine. And I'm a pretty good imaginer. I don't know about you. I can imagine pretty stinking big. And Ephesians tell me that it's even more than I can imagine. His resources, his power, his ability is so much bigger than all we can ask or imagine. So let me just give you three things this morning. Here's my answer for what do I want, okay? What do I want? I'm asking, I'm answering it corporately for Harvest. What do I want from the Lord? Number one is this, is I want to see. It's the same thing that Bart said, is I want to see. I want to see the glory of God manifest in New Mexico. I want to see. I want to see God's glory come. I want to see the power of God. Like, I don't want to be the generation that says, you know, we believed in God and we read about his miracles and you know, we thought that there was some pretty cool stuff that could happen, but we never actually saw it take place. Like, I want to be the generation that says, no, we saw the glory of God. We saw his mighty power. We saw, like, crazy stuff happened. We saw people healed of stuff that doctors said would never happen. We saw his provision. We saw him come through time and time and time again. Is anyone with me? I want to see the glory of God. I want to see the glory of God. I want to see it here in Taylor Ranch. I want to see it. Yesterday I was in Rio Rancho and I was just in our building there and no one else was there. And I just went because I said, God, I want to see the glory of God in Rio Rancho. And I want to see the glory of God in Cuesta. And you know what? I want to see the other places that he's dreamed for us that we don't even yet know about. I want to see. That's my what. Here's my second one is I want to participate. I want to participate. You see, Bartimaeus, he's healed, and it says this. It says, immediately he received his sight, and then this it just and he followed Jesus on the road. That's the last line in Mark 10. It says he received his sight and he followed Jesus on the road. In other words, he immediately became a disciple. He immediately said, some people would receive their healing and would just celebrate the healing and go, wow, I can see again, and they would just go back to regular life. But Bart, what he did is he got healed, and he said, this is something I want to be a part of. This is a team that I want. This is a guy I want to follow. This, I want to participate. And see, in the first half of Mark, we've been in it for a while now, but in the first half of Mark, what we saw was we saw Jesus's what's, right? We saw him teaching and preaching and healing and forgiving sins and casting out demons and setting people free. But then partway through Mark, we saw the tables turn. He began to say to the disciples, right? Like feeding the 5,000. He's like, you do it, right? You remember that? You feed them. You take care of them, right? You cast the demon out. You preach the sermon. What he's doing is he's inviting us to participate, right? He's inviting the disciples, us, to participate in his kingdom. So I'll just give you a shameless plug that our next growth track is coming up on December the 3rd. And I'm telling you this because this is our next step for how do you participate in the things that Harvest is doing. You go to growth track. That's how you do it. I'm excited because for the first time, we're gonna have growth track available on the same day on all three campuses. I'm really excited because Johnny and Jason, we've been praying for more participants. Not just more people, but more participants. For people to come alongside and participate in what God is doing through us. Because here's why. Faith is a participatory sport. It was never meant, like today, there's going to be a lot of people watching other people play sports, right? Like, go sports, right? They're going to watch. And faith is not like that. Faith is not one that you sit in the stands and you watch other people play out their faith. It's participatory. You get involved. And so here's my what, as I'm saying, what I want to see, but I don't just want to see, I want to participate. Like, I want to lay hands on the sick and watch them be healed, right? I want to exercise my faith and step out in audacious ways and see what God can do. I want to be part of it. I don't want to watch about it. I don't want to read about it. I don't want someone else to do it. I want to participate. Here's my third thing that I want, and a worship team can come and join me. I want to see what God can do through us together. This is my dream. I want to see what God can do through us. Here's the key word, together. Together, what could we accomplish? There's a story, I won't read it to you today, in Luke chapter 24. And these two men are walking down a road. So the road imagery continues. They're walking down the road to Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they're talking about the things that have happened. What they're talking about when you read is about how Jesus came and he's disrupting the community and all the good things that are happening. And what's interesting is along the road they actually encounter Jesus, but they don't know that it's him. they don't recognize that it's interesting is they're talking about the things Jesus is doing, but then he's standing there and they don't know that it's him. And Jesus begins to engage with them. He asks them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? It's just so interesting, right? And they begin, and they say to him, they say, are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's been happening these days? And isn't it funny? Because they don't know it's Jesus. And they're like, come on, like, don't you know? And so they start to tell him, right? Because he says, well, what things, right? And they're like, about Jesus. And they begin to tell him the things that began to happen. And then it's so interesting because then Jesus, he opens the Bible and he gives him a little Bible lesson right there on the road to Emmaus. He opens the scripture and he literally explains the things about himself that have happened and are going to happen. It's cracking me up the whole, because they don't know that it's Jesus giving them a Bible lesson about himself, right? And something interesting happens. We won't see it until a little bit later. But as he's sharing this, something happens in their hearts. Something begins to stir in their hearts as they hear about Jesus, from Jesus, about the things of the kingdom, about what's going to happen. And then they come to a fork in the road, and they're like, Jesus, come stay with us. Come, right? And what happens is so interesting because they come to a table. They come to a table and they begin to break bread with some of their friends. And they begin to talk together about the things of the kingdom, right? And all of a sudden, here's what's so crazy. And all of a sudden, at the table, breaking bread together as they talk about it, the revelation comes that the guy on the road was Jesus himself. That's when the revelation came. Not when Jesus was with them face to face, not when he opened the Word of God and gave them a scripture lesson, but when they came together at the table and they began to poke and prod at one another and investigate and question, and they were in a life group. That's what happened. They were in a life group and they were discussing the kingdom, and all of a sudden, and they said this, the two guys, they said, were not our hearts burning within us while we talked on the road and he opened the scripture to them? They identified. They're like, there was something happening in our hearts, right? Have you ever had that moment? Like, there's something happening, but I don't know what it is, right? And then when they came together, it's like all the pieces came together too. And they began to realize the things of the king and his kingdom. And I read this week and just have this dream in my heart that we could be the dwelling place of God. That the glory of God could manifest here through our lives, through our church. But I realize that it's only going to happen if we're together. It's only going to happen if we're united, if we're on the same page, if we're moving to the same beat of the drum, right? That it's only going to happen together. So I wonder today if we could get on the road together today. If we get on the road together today. I know we just did this 2 weeks ago, but we're going to come together today in the best way I know how. We're going to come together at the Lord's table. Because that's how this happened, right, in Luke, is that they came together and they broke bread. And they began to dream about not just what God can do, but what can God do through us together. So our campus pastors are going to come and lead their campuses in coming to the Lord's table today. And here today, I'm gonna lead you. We're going to come together. Is that all right? So I'm going to have our hospitality team come. And here's how we're going to do it today. They're going to come to the front. And they're going to stand with the trays, with the bread and the juice. And I'm going to have you, in a moment, I'm going to have you come. And here's what I'd like for you to do. If you still have that piece of paper, you can just keep it with you. Okay, just put it in your pocket or something. Keep it with you. And you're going to come, and you're going to take the elements. And then I want you to just keep coming, come to the front, because I want us to actually be together when we do this. Okay, we're coming to the Lord's table. I don't want you to go back to your spot, right? To where you can. I want us to be together this morning, and we're gonna come to the table. And here's the two questions we're asking. And our team, they can come when they're ready. These are the two questions: is what do you want God to do for you? You've already identified that. What do you want God to do for you? And we're going to believe that he's going to do some cool things today. And here's the other one is, and what can he do through us together? What can he do through us together? Hospitality team, come. They're going to come to the front here. Would you stand with me this morning? By the way, if you're not comfortable with this, we're not twisting your arm or anything, but we'd love for you to come to the table with us together this morning. Would you come? Worship team's going to play for a moment. Would you come, take the juice and the bread, and then just stick close, and we're gonna be together this morning.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.